We're now going to continue with this theory of reality. I'm sketching its main points. I'm not giving the detailed arguments for each point as Doiverd presents them. That's for you to read another day, but at least I can introduce this to you. In addition to natural things, whose qualifying function is the highest aspect in which they have their properties actively, and the laws of which govern their internal organization when you take the thing as a whole, there are also, not in addition to natural things, artifacts. A little while ago, I looked around this room quickly while I was talking to you, and I tried to find something that I could hold up that was a natural object, and I couldn't find anything. I looked around, everything's an artifact. Everything's been made. The stand's been made, the table's been made, the book's been made. They're all, everything around me, are artificial things made by human beings. They've taken a natural material and they've made something new out of it. Now, we have to, if we're going to have a decent theory of reality, we have to be able to account for what's new in the nature of an artifact. And here's the way that goes. An artifact is going to have two aspects characterize its nature. The first is going to be called its foundational function. It's going to exist, function, under the laws of a particular aspect which are foundational to it in the sense that these are the ones that qualify, this is the aspect that qualifies the process of its formation. The process of its formation. Then an artifact is going to have a leading function, not just foundational, but leading. And that's going to be the highest aspect, not in which it functions as a subject. It's going to be a passive. It's not going to be an active function. It's going to be a passive function. So the first difference between artifacts and natural things is that the leading function of artifacts, which gives us the key to their nature, is a passive aspect, is one in which they have their properties passively, not actively. So let's take an example of some artifact and ask about its nature. How about the book here? It's a book. Okay? The foundational function, what's foundational to this artifact, is the process of its formation, which is itself what I call formative, right? It's the formative or historical aspect. Humans just take materials and they make the covers and they make the pages and they make the ink and they print the ink on the pages, and its leading function is going to be linguistic. That's not a shock, I think, to anybody. It's there to present this linguistic artifact to you so that you can read what it has to say. Books can be subdivided then according to what kind of language they use. Of course, you could do that. You could list their different natural languages, or you could also then say what subjects the language would be talking about. But its leading function, clearly, is to convey something in language to somebody else. It's a record of somebody, what somebody wanted to tell someone else. So it has an historical or formative foundation. Human beings make it. And then it has a leading linguistic function. On the other hand, we could take something else. We could take, if I had one, a dollar bill. And we could say that its foundational was also formative. People make the paper and they print the money on there. On the face, they pick the numbers and the figures and so on. But its leading function would be economic. It's there to actively participate in the process of buying and selling, which is economically qualified. The dollar bill doesn't buy or sell. The dollar bill gets exchanged for something else. in buying and selling. Here's one for you. Suppose I ask you to identify the nature of a hammer. The foundational function is that we take wood and we take metal, we make the head of the hammer, we take the wood and we make the shaft, and we secure one to the other, now we have a hammer. But what's its leading function? What characterizes the way it contributes to reality? And the answer is that it's founded in the formative or historical, and its leading function is also formative or historical. That is, that's the true of all tools. A tool is an artifact we make in order to make other artifacts. So the hammer has a leading function that's the same as its foundational function. Now, Duiwerth thought that this, all this stuff only operated in one direction. That if something had a leading function, it had to, that function had to be lower on the list. I'm sorry. If it had a foundational function, it would have to be lower on the list than the leading function. And that seems to me a mistake. Let me tell you why. Take, for example, a pair of false teeth. It has a formative historical function. Human beings take this material, they make something in it, they fit, the dentist takes measurements and they fit it in your mouth. And what is its leading function? It's biotic, it's to chew food. And your health can be seriously affected if you can't chew your food. So I think sometimes it goes the other way too. Take an artificial limb or an artificial knee. Those are formed by people. They take metal, they put it into the shape, they make the measurements and so on. A surgeon inserts it so into the body, so what? So that the body can carry out its normal biotic functions in movement. I think that's also true about hearing aids. They're historically formed, but the leading function is sensory. It's to bring back to normalcy the hearing of sounds. So, in Duiwerth's view, the foundational function is always below the leading function on this list. I'm suggesting that needs to be expanded. Sometimes it goes the other way around. Now, you might wonder, is there anything ever at any time that's an artifact and doesn't have a formative historical foundation? Isn't anything humans made by humans? I mean, it's got to be formative. And to that, Duiwerth's answer is that when we form a marriage, the foundational function isn't us taking a natural material and making something new. This is driven by our very nature as humans, as male and female, so that the foundational function for a marriage is biological. It has to do with the difference of the sexes. And that's what's foundational, and the leading function of the marriage is ethical love. Ethics here covers all kinds of love. And it depends upon the social setting of the relationship, just how that love gets nuanced. So we're to have a general love for everyone other than ourselves, committed to loving our neighbor as ourselves. That doesn't mean we don't love our spouse in a special way. We certainly do. It includes an erotic component that we're not to share with anyone else. And it means I owe my wife more duty than I owe somebody I don't even know, or even the neighbor down the street, or perhaps another relative. Parents owe something to children that they owe no one else. Children owe of an ethical love relation to their parents, more so than the other people that they know. So there's all kinds of love, depending on its setting. But the central command is to love God. That's religious. That transcends the ethical. And your neighbor as yourself. And then there are specific ways that that works out in practice, in society. I may love my work. I may love my house. I may just hate the weather where I live, or something like that. It has to do with what we love and hate. It's human love life. So once again, we're zeroing in on ways to understand things given this theory. Natural things, now artifacts. Artifacts are very different. They're different because they're qualified by aspects in which they possess properties only passively, and they are produced by humans or other animals. I mean, there are animals that also produce artifacts. Birds make nests, spiders make webs, beavers make beaver lodges and dams, that sort of thing. I'm not going into that. That's a special category for Dewey Bird. He has ways of distinguishing human artifacts and animal artifacts. But this is enough for a start. We can see the difference in the nature between the artifacts and the natural things. And we've got the difference between foundational and leading functions. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to let you think this over. I'm going to come back and we're going to try some more examples. See how well you do picking out the nature of something, zeroing in on it, on its fundamental characteristics by using this and this. But this for natural things and this for artifacts.